I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Still to come, your comments and letters about what you've heard from us this week. And the barbershop guys are in the house. But first, our Faith Matters conversation. Israel is celebrating the 60th anniversary of its independence this week. But despite the abundance of plays, concerts, and fireworks, some of its citizens are having trouble celebrating. That's because the High Rabbinical Court, the highest rabbinical authority in Israel, released a decision questioning the integrity of one of the officials who conducts the conversion process for the Jewish state. And if the court's decision stands, the Jewish status of hundreds, if not thousands, of converts could be invalidated. The issue raises the personal and political question: what does it mean to be Jewish? Here to talk about the ruling and its impact are Rabbi Shaul Farber, director of the Jewish Life Information Center, and Shani Gilbert. She received her conversion certificate in 2005. They're both in Tel Aviv. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. Well, hi. Thanks a lot, Michelle, and greetings from Tel Aviv.
Thank you. Rabbi, this issue affects people, who, as I understand it, who underwent the conversion process between 1999 and 2003 under the supervision of state conversion authority Rabbi Chaim Druckman. Now, as briefly as you can, and I know it's complicated, can you lay the case out for us? Why does the court feel the conversions should be invalidated? Is this a political dispute, a theological dispute?
First of all, let me distance myself and my organization, E-Team, the Jewish Life Information Center, from this decision. We find, despite the fact that I'm a member, an official member of the Israeli rabbinate, I find myself in the strange position of fighting this decision tooth and nail. And in fact, I appeared in the Knesset at a hearing on Tuesday in an attempt to advance legislation that would invalidate this decision. The decision itself, which in fact invalidates conversions from 99 till the present day, in fact, is relevant as it demonstrates a certain trend within the rabbinical court system towards a more fundamentalist posture. Conversion to Judaism is an exceptionally complicated matter. It's undergone enormous evolution. But the Jewish people, perhaps more than any other of the Western faiths, is a people that subscribes to sensitivity, in particular to the convert. The background to this decision is actually a rabbinic court decision issued a little over a year ago that essentially threw into question the validity of conversions based on the observance patterns both of those who went through conversion, as Orthodox Judaism demands that those who undergo conversion also adopt an Orthodox lifestyle, and in addition, questions the integrity of one of the state officials who, in fact, is in charge of that conversion authority, Rabbi Druckman.
So are they saying that the people who converted in this process aren't really observant?
They're saying they're not really Jewish because, unfortunately, the fundamentalist posture suggests a radical and brand-new position, in fact, that suggests that conversion is, in fact, never ultimately confirmed until literally the end of one's life. It can always be questioned based on an observance pattern. Hmm. And again, this fundamentalist position is something radically new within the Jewish faith. Within Jewish tradition, from the Talmud, from almost 2,000 years ago, it is absolutely clear and abundantly clear within the sources, traditional sources, legal sources, rabbinic sources, that someone who undergoes a legal conversion remains Jewish and should never be questioned. As I said, the Bible in Leviticus says you have to love the convert, v'ahavtem et hager, if I may quote the Hebrew. For you, the Jewish people, were strangers in a land not yours, in Egypt. And before the Jews underwent the Exodus, they understood what it means to be sensitive to someone who is a foreigner and a stranger. We help at our organization hundreds of people. We've helped thousands in the last few years. And you can just imagine what's happened in the last week at our organization as the phone literally has been ringing off the hook with people whose confidence in their own Judaism has been shattered by this fundamentalist posture of the rabbinic court.
Must be very traumatic.
It sure is.
Shani, can we talk to you for a minute? Now, you're from Maryland, and
right,
you...
originally from Carroll County.
Originally from Carroll County, which is outside of Washington, D.C., far suburb of Washington, D.C. You moved to Israel and went through the conversion process there. You live an Orthodox lifestyle. Can you just tell us what motivated this important decision?
What, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part of it.
What motivated this decision for you?
To convert?
Mm-hmm.
I always knew that I was Jewish. My father took me to a synagogue in Hagerstown. There was we're having a political meeting, actually. And when I was just graduated from university and was planning to head over to Tel Aviv University, and he told me a story in this Hagerstown synagogue that when my mother was 7 months pregnant with me, it was Yom Kippur services, and they had gone, both of them as a couple had gone to the synagogue, and my mother wanted to leave and she wasn't comfortable in the synagogue. So she left the synagogue and was walking down the steps, and I kicked her from inside her womb, and she fell down the stairs, and she called out, and she told the people from the synagogue heard her cries and brought her back into the synagogue. And I'd never heard that story before, but it just, like, solidified for me that, yeah, even from the womb, I knew that I was going to be Jewish.
So you, what was the process of conversion like for you? Quite a lengthy procedure, yes.
I underwent the Orthodox conversion process through the Tel Aviv chief rabbinate. The process includes having to have an adoptive Orthodox family, in which you have to go to for Shabbat and for Jewish holidays. You have to attend conversion classes, which meet three nights a week for 3 hours each session. And that's about 10, 11 months.
And just to clarify that your father is Jewish, but your mother is not, and Judaism is passed through the mother's line. And so that's one reason you had to undergo conversion.
Correct. And that's right, Michelle. And I just wanted to say that I actually made Aliyah to Israel before I started the conversion process, because Aliyah can also be passed. Your Israeli citizenship can come through the father's line, Jewish line. It doesn't have to be through the mother's line only.
And making Aliyah means?
Making Aliyah means becoming an Israeli citizen.
So what has it meant for you to, and I understand it also took you, and that's another long story, it took you 2 years after you went through this process to actually get your certificate. So what has it meant to you to have this questioned?
Well, like Rabbi Farber said, it was an immediate shock. And actually, today is actually 1 week since, exactly to the time when the news first hit that this was going to happen. I had just finished preparing for Shabbat, and I thought, okay, I'll just check the news before Shabbat comes along. And then I was hit with that, and it was incredible. I was shaking. I was crying. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, through it, I had read this quote once a long time ago, and I really believe in it. So it's that for a trivial goal, any hardship is great. For a great goal, any hardship is trivial. And I really believe that through this whole process, we are going to get something good out of it. And this is not something bad.
In a way, you feel like your faith is being tested?
Pardon?
Do you feel like your faith is being tested?
I feel like I am constantly under scrutiny, but this was a blanket ruling made by the Beit Din. It wasn't something where they had any evidence for all these thousands of converts that they are not following the halakha.
That's the question, Rabbi. If you're practicing, you're observing Shabbat, you're keeping kosher, what is more that is needed? And why is this certificate so important?
Again, Michelle, you asked at the beginning a fabulous question. Is this rabbinic court decision motivated by strict legal terminology, or is there something more at stake? And again, as happening also in the States, there's a very serious debate in Israel in particular about the nature of Jewish life. And this is one indication that in certain quarters, fundamentalist positions have actually, to a certain extent, even hijacked a legal system. There were serious disciplinary violations that went on in the rabbinic courts, including ignoring repeated protests by the chief rabbi, who's the president of the rabbinical courts. And to a large extent, though in the particular case that was in front of the judicial system, in front of the rabbinic courts, a decision has been rendered, I received on Tuesday a commitment from the chief rabbinate that this decision will not affect one more convert. And as I mentioned before, we, team, our organization, the Jewish Life Information Center, went into the Knesset Law Committee, that's the parliamentary system in Israel, which theoretically and practically is the system of law in Israel that empowers the rabbinical courts. And we demanded, among others, that this kind of fundamentalism simply be eradicated from the rabbinic court system. It simply cannot be allowed to go on. Thousands and thousands of people this week had their confidence shattered in a rabbinic court system that they accept and have adopted, to a certain extent, their legal mechanisms. And at this point, we're simply not going to allow this to go on anymore. There's been pretty much universal condemnation of this rabbinical court decision in most normative rabbinic settings. And I know we ourselves, together with the leadership of the United Jewish Communities in America, are running an ad campaign that began today, calling both upon the chief rabbi and on the Knesset and upon Jews around the world to embrace converts and to not let fundamentalist voices carry the day here.
Is there a concern, and I think it's important for people to point out that there is no civil marriage in Israel, so the certificate's important in order to have to get married. It's important for the sort of the children's identity. Do you think, Rabbi, that this is kind of a struggle over Jewish identity and how that is to be expressed?
I absolutely do. I feel that in certain corridors within the Orthodox community, power has led to an insularity that basically is exclusivist. They're uninterested, and this rabbinical court in particular is uninterested in recognizing the Jewish identity of those who don't share their exact observance patterns. And that is an exceptionally dangerous phenomenon for a Jew like myself or an organization like mine that believes in the universality of the Jewish people and its message to the world. Judaism is not an insular religion, and even Orthodox Judaism, and I'm an Orthodox rabbi, does not subscribe to a vision of Jewish life that excludes those who don't necessarily adopt your point of view. And it's probably not surprising to you, Michelle, that certain fundamentalists do take that insular point of view. And because of that, they don't want other Jews to marry with them. They don't want other Jews to be buried with them. And that's simply something that the state of Israel cannot allow to happen.
And very briefly, Rabbi, can the state survive with an exclusivist perspective on this identity?
I don't believe it can, but I believe that the state is strong enough at its 60th year to recognize that even given the political considerations that empower certain fundamentalist positions, this issue of who is a Jew and what does it take to become a Jew is simply too important to let be go by the wayside.
I see.
And I believe strongly that both the Knesset and the Jewish people as a whole will reach a consensus on this in the coming weeks.
Okay.
The Knesset opens its session in 10 days, okay. And we plan to be there.
All right, Rabbi, we're going to have to leave it there. Rabbi Shaul Farber is director of the Jewish Life Information Center. We were also joined by Shani Gilbert. She's a Maryland native, a Jewish convert. They both joined us by phone from Tel Aviv. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
Shabbat Shalom.